Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I do love that ad. It's 10 to 7. I'm Kathy Kayla, standing in for Howard Feldman. This is the Morning Mayhem, the Friday edition, the Balagan Baboke. Just a reminder that Monday and Tuesday, Chai FM will not be broadcasting. The reason being that we will be observing our Shavuot holidays. All right, so just read you the 13 points of the ceasefire agreement put together by the United States. It's been accepted by Israel, waiting for Hamas to accept it. It is possibly a way to get the hostages out, but I wanted to find out. Yisrael Medad, educator, columnist, media analyst, and Yesha resettler activist. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. Thank you.
Good. What's your thought on this ceasefire proposal?
Well, as usual, all the details are not exactly clear. We don't know how much is being pumped up by PR activists, should I say, for either side. Israel has extended itself as in a positive fashion toward the proposal. It does potentially have both an effect on the, or I should say an immediate effect on Israel in Gaza. But I think that the problem is Mr. Netanyahu is also in the background keeping an eye on Iran, and he wants to make sure that whatever he does with Gaza will keep Mr. Trump and America within the loop, shall we say, as regards what Israel needs to be, have done with Iran, which complicates things.
It does complicate things. So I have a five-year-old in my brain who needs to understand things very simply. Can I ask you to just unpack that statement about Netanyahu keeping Trump in the loop? How does that work with this possible ceasefire?
Israel, at the present moment, cannot go alone against Iran.
Yes.
Mr. Trump now has initiated negotiations with Iran, but they're simply continuing with no sort of conclusion in sight. And the fear in Israel is that Iran is continuing to quickly develop its nuclear capabilities while stringing along the United States. Mr. Trump, on the other hand, is very interested in being portrayed as a peacemaker, as someone who puts out fires, and he has a chance now with Gaza. Israel is willing to do that, but if it means two things, that the war ends without Hamas being completely decommissioned, demilitarized, etc., and withdrawal for certain key areas in Gaza, we sort of might be, as an American phrase is, hung out to dry. We don't get Iran and we don't get Gaza completely. And it, of course, complicates Mr. Netanyahu's internal political problem with his coalition immensely.
That's so interesting. So you're right, it's very nuanced, it's very complicated. You know, and I just keep coming back to, you know, Donald Trump has got his own election promises to keep. And that is to make America great again, not to hold Israel by the hand, but it's to make his indicator to his own people. So I'm not sure. Maybe the alliance is moving separate, you know, further apart. What do you think, Israel?
I don't think it's moving further apart. I think to be generous and but also to be honest, Mr. Trump is mercurial. All right. He flits back and forth very quickly, and it's more about impressions rather than deep content in terms of his policies. And so he thinks he can solve the Gaza problem by simply offering to move most of the Gazans away. And after 2 years, maybe some of them will come back after he's rebuilt Gaza. All right. That is a vision. It's he can try that out. But Israel has been together with the so-called Arab conflict problem for now basically going on 100 years. We have a lot of experience, we know what's going down, and the president has to realize that Israel cannot simply say, okay, we're ending the war with over 800 soldiers dead, with the results of the October 7th massacre, still fresh in our minds, without knowing that Hamas is incapable of launching any sort of military activity, even if it means digging a tunnel or firing a rocket off, as it has been doing for the past 15 years or so. That is an impossible situation for Israel. And he's walked away from the Houthis, and we're still getting missiles once every other day here in Israel from the Houthis in Yemen. So he hasn't solved our problem there, even though he's walked away from Yemen. That isn't solving conflicts or putting out wars. And so we'll have to be a little bit more patient, it seems, until he wakes up to the fact that the world is a lot more, as you said, complicated and even cruel, if I may ask, than he would like it to be.
Yeah. So interesting, when I was going through the terms of the ceasefire deal, how it talks about, Clause 11 talks about the guarantors, which are the mediator guarantors. It's the United States, Egypt, and Qatar. Now, Qatar, as we know, they've been funding the protests on campuses. They've been funding a large part of this. They're very duplicitous. And making them part of this, do you think that's clever, or do you think that that is just, you know, blindsiding or maybe in denial to make them part of the ceasefire agreement?
I don't, on this specific question about Qatar, I think he's caught up between his business interests, his friend Steve Witkoff, who's had business interests with Qatar, and a belief that when Qatar says, oh, we'll take care of it, it really happened. In business, the worst thing that happens is you lose a little bit of money or you go to court to try to get it back. But in real life, and especially with the Arab-Israel conflict, his approach is approaching being naive whether or not Qatar will actually halt Hamas. It hasn't even gotten Hamas over the past year and a half to honestly negotiate any sort of real conclusion to the situation. And I think more and more Israelis will be saying, we don't want to be the experiment for Mr. Trump to realize that the world politics and diplomacy is a lot more complicated than real estate interests.
Yeah. One of our listeners saying the one term is for hostages to be looked after, supposedly. Why is there not for Red Cross to visit hostages to check and help them? Why is that, actually? That's such a good question. Thank you, Anton. Anton listening to us in Cape Town. Why is it that the Red Cross cannot insist on seeing the hostages and that they haven't? Instead, they just parade the hostages in front of Hamas. Why do you think, Israel?
Yes, the question is very good for several reasons. First of all, they can always complain that they don't have arms and they can't force themselves in. So maybe they should get out of the way in something else. If Mr. Trump is into defunding all sorts of universities and other organizations, maybe he should say the United States is going to stop funding the International Red Cross until they get a move on. On the other hand, it also is an internal Israeli politics. All the demonstrations on behalf of the hostages have been against the government. Yeah. No one of these groups has gone out to take over the offices of the International Red Cross in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. They haven't gone abroad to demonstrate outside Qatari embassies. It's not Israel's fault. Israel has done as much as possible to get the hostages back. There are actors or agents that are interfering, and they should be punished, not physically, of course, but financially or otherwise, in order to force them to move.
Yisrael Madad, an absolute pleasure and very, very insightful. Thank you so much for just sharing your smartness with us and your insight. I look forward to hearing more from you. That's Yisrael Madad, his educator, columnist, media analyst, and Yesha resettler activist. You are welcome to weigh in on anything that you're hearing. We really do like it. And you know what? You don't have to agree with us. You can disagree. I'm very happy for you to do that as well. That's what we call a conversation. With that, it is 7 o'clock, and here is your news with Non.